Hello, everyone. My name is Caleb Walgren, and I want to welcome you to Season 5, Episode 15 of Brody Sports Talk. I am joined by a man who is great. He is able to influence NFL legends with mere thoughts in his mind, and that is Derek Rusnick. Derek, how are you doing today?
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone out there in podcast land is having a good day.
It's a good day. I do know that I've got a call earlier yesterday from Gutekunst about all of the players that were getting cut from the Packers and making sure that I kind of signed off on it. It's a tough day when you see almost 1,200 people get released from their jobs all at once. But let's go ahead and go through some of the ones that we definitely didn't see coming as far as surprise cuts, as they did just recently go down to their 53-man rosters. And of course, what better place to start than at the quarterback position, Derek? Let's start out in the desert with the Arizona Cardinals, because not only did they release veteran Colt McCoy, who did not wear America's Brightest Orange, he wore America's Burnt Orange. And they also had Jeff Driscoll out there who has been released. So that means that the quarterback battle in Kyler Murray's absence is Clayton Tune and Joshua Dobbs. Derek, are you impressed or scared? Or do you think that the Cardinals might be trying to becoming some form of a howitzer or something like that out there in Arizona?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so I'm trying to put the pieces together. You have a first-year head coach. You have, let's just call it what it is, guys who haven't started in the NFL because of their football skill, but because of their health. And are we expecting to win at least any of the first four games? Like, this was the defensive coordinator that came over from Philly, right? So are they expecting to play just defense and win? I don't know what the Cardinals were thinking. Like, I would at least had Colt McCoy around. Like, is Josh Jobs that much better? I don't think so.
I mean, even if Josh Dobbs is someone who you think is better, it's probably not better to have someone come in after your final preseason game who has not seen your playbook. That is an issue, in my opinion. Also, shout out to Jonathan Gannon for being like, we're not going to tell you who the starting quarterback is. He may not know who the starting quarterback is.
I don't think he does either.
And so I don't want to give away a competitive advantage by naming my starting quarterback that I don't know who it is.
I guess that is what it is. I mean, I guess you're one-upping your competition.
It appears that way. It definitely appears that way. But let's go ahead. Let's switch it up. There was a big trade that happened where a former third overall pick in Trey Lance was traded from the San Francisco 49ers, who think that they have things pretty good out there, to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a mid-round pick. Derek, give me some thoughts about Trey being the new man behind Dak.
Okay, so is he behind Dak? Because on the depth chart, he is the third quarterback behind Cooper Rush. Now, is he more talented than Cooper Rush? Probably. But I'm glad that he's getting out from underneath the 49ers because, you know, everything around that is just a little bit of a bad situation. But the other side of the coin is, unless something happens to Dak, which, you know, knock on wood, something doesn't happen to him, you're not going to play in Dallas for the next 3 to 4 years. and you don't have any film, you don't have any good film on you for when you're done with your rookie deal. So I'm glad for Lance. He seems like he's happy going to Dallas. I'm glad that 49ers are saying, hey, we're going to cut our losses. We got very lucky with the Brock Purdy pick, and Sam Darnold came in, and, you know, it's a quarterback friendly system. So Sam Darnold looked like he was in college, not when he was playing for the Jets or the Panthers. So, you know, Trey Lance kind of became expendable. Good for both sides for cutting their losses and saying, hey, we made a mistake. And, you know, they're only a couple years removed from being that close to the Super Bowl.
I will say this, Derek, and this is kind of insane to me. Dak Prescott's cap hit next year goes from $26 million to $59
million. Yep.
And even if they wanted to cut him, his dead cap would be $61 million. So that's it's not I'm like saying. They would save much by not having him there. They would actually be, I mean, there's voidable years on the contract, but it seems tough to find a road to playing for Trey Lance other than Mike McCarthy has developed quarterbacks pretty well. And from what we can say, Kyle Shanahan, he knows how to run the ball, but I can't say that I've seen him really develop quarterbacks that much. Maybe that's an argument for another day, though.
I mean, his system develops quarterbacks. I mean, we're going to see. Okay, so how about this? At the end of the season, we're going to see the stats for Jimmy Garoppolo, what they are while he's in Vegas, because Josh McDaniels doesn't have a quarterback friendly system. He has talent at the quarterback position. And so, or he's had in the past, that's where he succeeded. He's had QB talent. So if Brock Purdy is less impressive than Jimmy Garoppolo, then I will say that Kyle Shanahan doesn't know how to develop a quarterback. But until that time, I'm going to say that Kyle Shanahan is better with quarterbacks. Because, I mean, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft for a reason. Like, I watched Iowa State's games.
Speaking of two other quarterbacks that were released, let's go ahead and talk about Trevor Siemian, the former Denver Bronco legend, being released by the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bears cutting a legend who has been around the league a few times, backup for the Bills, backup for the Raiders, backup just about everywhere, in Nathan Peterman. No relation to Seinfeld. So, in general, Derek, anything that you want to add about Siemian or Peterman going out the door?
Yeah, so Simeon's going to get a place in a practice squad, backup quarterback situation, third QB out there, something. He's a well-established quarterback, knows what he's doing, and did a pretty good job starting for the Broncos when he was the starting quarterback. Peterman, on the other hand, and I'm sure he'll be practice squad at the worst, he knows how to throw a football, and he knows how to read a defense. So, I mean, they're both veteran guys. They'll probably find a place someplace else.
So let's go ahead and keep it moving today. Let's go to the running back position, where we all knew about the holdout. We all knew that there was a trade demand, and Jonathan Taylor did not get traded and now is currently placed on the physically unable to perform list by the Colts. So he will be out for at least the first 4 weeks of the NFL season. Those 4 weeks, Derek, are the Jaguars, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Rams. Are you concerned with Anthony Richardson getting his first NFL snaps, with Zach Moss in the backfield with him instead of Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, a little bit. So Jonathan Taylor is an all-around good back. He makes defenses, catch flat-footed for an extra half second or so when you have play action, because he's going to run into you. He's going to do a really good job. So, like, even though no running back is getting the respect they deserve, I mean, having that guy versus just a running back behind you is going to take a little bit of pressure off of Anthony Richardson. This is just a lot of, there's a lot in the going across the league of just like, okay, cool. We have a first year coach and we're just going to toss an unknown quarterback out there. And we're just going to, we don't really care to make you happy player that has brought some relevance to us over the last couple of years. We're just going to do it. And it just seems really weird to me. I don't see, we don't see teams like the Chiefs do this kind of stuff, but the Chiefs have. Andy Reid came out and said, okay, cool. Chris Jones he wants a new contract, doesn't want to play until he gets a new contract. Cool, let him sit at home. There are teams that do that. But there's more established teams that go out here and they don't cater to their best players, but at the same time, you have those communications of, hey, this is how we're building our team, this is what you mean to us, stuff like that. And I don't think the Colts know what they're doing right now. I just don't think that they have any idea of how to construct a roster and how to keep players happy in 2023.
That's fair. It's not pretty over there. I will say, of course, Josh Jacobs did get paid by a team who shall remain nameless. But, when we hear about running backs getting paid, we do want to celebrate that. A running back that I feel like has had ups and downs in the league since he's been drafted is Myles Gaskin. And he was recently released by the Miami Dolphins amidst the cut day news. I just don't know if it was a lack of trust in the Mike McDaniel offense. But he did things before Mike McDaniel showed up under the Brian Flores system, was one of the few bright spots on that offense under Fitzmagic and Tua time. What do you take this as, Derek? Or do you think that this is just a guy who's got banged up, he's a little bit smaller, and just is looking on his way out of the NFL?
Yeah, he's banged up. He didn't fit the system. He is thanked for his service, but there are guys that are coming up that they can replace you with that you can play money ball with the running back position. In this case, Myles Gaskin is just a replaceable player. We can put two guys to get this many yards, and if one of those two guys goes down, we have the other guy that can take the load. You're not going to have a featured back anymore in the NFL. And I think that Myles Gaskin is he did some bright spots while Brian Flores was there. But unfortunately, this is just a 2023 running back market. It's unfortunate.
That's fair. So let's talk about the Giants, because they acquired a couple of players via trade, giving up some future draft picks. They went out and got Boogie Basham, the defensive end or outside linebacker from Buffalo, who they had brought in previously, just wasn't getting on the field as much as some of the other players over there. And then they also traded for the highly drafted Isaiah Simmons, who never really seemed to find his role in the Cardinals defense. Do you think either one of them is going to have a big impact this year with the Giants? Obviously, I would say their main pass rushers are Kayvon Thibodeau, the recent top five pick, and Azeez Ojulari, who also was taken pretty high and played on a pretty good defense at the University of Georgia. So it's not like they don't have pass rushers. It's just, where do you see Boogie and Isaiah kind of fitting into the mix?
Yeah, so you're going to have to take plays off. When you are rushing the passer down after down after down, you can take Kayvon out on a 10-12 play drive, and you're not going to drop that much when it comes to pass rushing. So keep guys fresh, have special packages where they can succeed, blitz packages where you have, these guys are very agile when it comes to where they can play and what they can do. So I think that there's an option there for everyone. And it's just rotation. I mean, depth is very, very important, especially at the pass rusher position. We've seen in the past where a defensive player of the year or a candidate can goes down and you just see the defense completely change. So if you have depth at a pass rush position, it's always best to have that. And I think this is going to be good for them. I think it's going to be give them a chance to have those highlights.
Well, let's go ahead and switch it up from, we've talked some offense, we've talked some defense. Let's talk about some special teams, because it is time to talk about the kickers. That's right, the kickers. Kickers need love too, Derek. The first one is big news in the world of Captain Orange, and that is because the Broncos acquired Will Lutz, the former Saints kicker, bringing him back together with Sean Payton. Sean Payton needed a kicker he trusted. They had Brett Maher there, and he was the one who famously missed all of those extra points in the Cowboys playoff game. And they said, sayonara, Brett Maher. We do not have room for you here. You are not going to make the team. They went, traded for Will Lutz, cut him, made sure that they knew what they were doing. In the other kicker news, the Titans did go out and acquired Nick Folk after they had already released Michael Badgley. So they almost were going into a situation with no kicker, which would have been interesting. But they do have one. They went and got Nick Folk from the Patriots, a bit of the Vrabel-Belichick connection there, if you will. And what I also find to be interesting, Derek, is the Rams have announced their 53-man roster, and they don't have a kicker currently. So I don't think that roster is going to stay the way that it is. Maybe they'll want Brett Maher or Michael Badgley, but probably not. We'll have to see what they do as far as seeking a kicker shortly. But how do you feel about Will Lutz coming up to the Mile High? And any thoughts about Nick Folk being the legend he is, kind of going around and kicking? I feel like this is how many years in the league and how many teams has he been on? Like, I just feel like he's been around the block a few times.
So Rodrigo Blankenship is also on the market. He's the kicker that wears those fun glasses. The goggles, basically. I believe he played for Georgia. It's been a while, but I think he's on the market as well. I'm not sure he's going to get picked up much anywhere unless there's an injury. I'm glad that Will Lutz is coming to Mile High. We're probably going to need him to make sure and hit those extra points, because there's going to be lots of touchdowns scored this year with the Broncos offense. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There's not a whole lot of a safety net for kickers. So Brett Maher going out the door, probably you're not going to get too much of a difference between Brett Maher and Will Lutz. I mean, it's an upgrade. You know what you're going to get, but a few percentage points here. And then, of course, Nick Folk has probably made more money than most kickers in the league should have earned. But, you're going to need those field goals after Derrick Henry runs the ball for 80 yards and they don't score a touchdown.
Burn. Derrick coming in with a major burn for, the Titans offense and their lack of getting into the end zone. So Derek, I will say this. I'm looking it up. 15 seasons, $21 million for Nick Folk.
There you go.
Not too bad.
No.
Not too bad
at all. I'll take it.
Yeah. No complaints from Derek there. He would gladly kick the football for 15 years for $21 million.
I mean, that's true. I mean, you just have to keep yourself in football shape, which for kickers, you can pass the physical pretty easily because it's just like a couple of shuttle runs and stuff like that. And, you know, if you have a good sports psychologist on speed dial, you're probably doing pretty well once you have your motion. Because the only thing that really happens to kickers is they get the yips or they lose their mojo or any other kind of thing that you want to call it. A lot of times kickers, they don't lose their ability. They just lose it between the ears. So, yeah, I mean, if you're able to be in the league for 15 years, you've probably got a good sports psychologist who gets you out of your head each and every week, much like those guys. You know, you tape your ankles, tape your fingers. If you're, you know, defensive lineman, he's probably taping his headband or something to make sure that feel the ball, be the ball, much like Caddyshack.
Absolutely. Caddyshack reference. We got to bring it up because it was also this past week. Rest in peace, Bob Barker. Much respected from that film and, of course, from hosting The Price is Right for so many years. And he got as close as he could to 100 without going over. So,
yeah. Yeah, I love the yodel going up the mountain.
Oh, yes. That one of my favorite games, for sure.
Yep.
But speaking of games that Derek and I do love and appreciate, make sure that you've got your hands well rested, because it is time for our high fives and handshake segment of the show, our very own Brody Betts. Of course, there are no NFL games coming this weekend, so Derek and I are going to go ahead and get things started with some of our favorite college games. And Derek, can you start off by, we'll go through some of your teams here. Who is your favorite America's Brightest Orange, Orange Power, playing this week?
Yeah, so for the Orange Power, we have Oklahoma State going to beat up Central Arkansas. Because they are a D2 school, there's no line for that game that I can find. And so I'm going to have OSU minus a bunch over Central Arkansas, as this is a scheduled win, as they may call it, for Central Arkansas, and they're going to get money to come to Stillwater to kick off the season. So I maybe next week we'll have an actual line for my Cowboys. Do you want to go over to freshly husked corn for your Huskers?
Before I do, I have to say it's kind of a crime that we don't get America's Brightest Orange at what could be America's Ugliest Field. If this would have been a road game against Central Arkansas, the purple and gray striped field that Central Arkansas has might be one of the worst things that exists. However, it gets us to talk about them, so they don't mind. So yeah, as far as freshly husked corn is concerned, Derek, I did think you set that up really well. I just had to sneak a jab in there about their stadium. Nebraska is playing this Thursday night. It's a earlier game on week one because we are past week zero, and they are taking on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The over under on the game is 43.5. That's a tough one. They also are a 7-point underdog on the nose. When we were looking at this and originally getting the note set up, Derek, this line was 7.5. And I have to say that I like that a lot more as a Nebraska fan. But give me the truth. Give me the upset, because I'm going to be sitting down watching this on Thursday night. It starts on Fox at 7 p.m. Central Time. Give me Nebraska to cover, and I'm just going to say that we pull the upset, as PJ Fleck has, instead of rowing his boat, we will sink his boat, as Nebraska will go into Minnesota and get a win in the Big Ten West while it still exists. So Nebraska plus 7, put it on the books.
I like it. That's a good line for that game. I don't know who Minnesota is this year. I know that I trust Nebraska more, so I would I'm going to be on your bandwagon as well with the Nebraska plus 7. Just a group high five on that one. Let's go over to your favorite real quick before we hit to my favorite. Who's your favorite this week?
So I went ahead and I was looking at games that I like the spread on a little bit, because we do pick against the spread here. Wanted something where it was fairly close. And, you know, I've disparaged the Colts a little bit earlier in this episode, so I wanted to make it up to my buddy Ryan and say something nice about his school that he graduated from. He is an alumni of Purdue University. Give me the Purdue Boilermakers, as they are hosting the Fresno State Bulldogs. They are a 3.5-point favorite, and I'm going to take them to cover that, as that game is early. It is an 11 o'clock kick on Big Ten Network out there at Ross-Ade Stadium. It is a California to Eastern time zone trip, because that stadium is technically in the Eastern time zone there in Indiana. And yeah, I think that it's going to be tough for Fresno to go across the country and play a game at 9 o'clock in the morning in their time. So give me Purdue to win by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, I like Purdue in that game. Fresno State being Fresno State. I mean, they can recruit, but I don't think that they're going to overcome that Purdue.
Well, so Derek, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy. Yeah. You're a Big 12 guy. Your favorite this week is coming from the Big 12. Tell me about the big game that you're taking, because if I picked a national televised game for, of course, my freshly husked corn, where are you going for also a big game on television this weekend?
Yeah, so I accidentally flipped channels the other day and got some kind of weird feedback from the Fort Worth area, and Hypnotoad got me. So I'm taking TCU minus 20.5 over the Fighting Deion Sanders of Colorado. I think that it's going to take a year or two before Deion gets his players and he's able to instill his culture in that team. And so TCU with, you know, some brand new players, but they regroup pretty well. So, and they're ranked 17th. I think 20.5 is it's a big number. And we all know from last season that I don't like big numbers, but, you know what? I am changing my tune this year. I'm going to start out with a big number and see where it leads me. Cause I think, I think I'm going to jump into this season's big numbers.
I will say, I hope Colorado goes 0-2 to start the season. They will be playing Nebraska the following week. So not only will we be recapping their game when we get to next week's episode, we'll also have to talk about them playing Nebraska after that. So hopefully these picks go perfectly for us on this, Derek. It will make me so happy.
Yeah, I think they're going to be so demoralized from the TCU game. They're not going to even show up to the Nebraska game.
Which is hilarious because it's in Boulder.
yeah, just stay home.
Yeah, but we've talked about our favorites. Let's talk about our underdogs for this week. We both picked an underdog out here. And oddly enough, Derek, we both were going with some teams that I believe are in the Mountain West to cover for us this week against teams from the Power Five. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
No, I'm going to jump all over this. So go Lobo go, as I am taking New Mexico out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, plus 38.5 at Texas A&M University. I have a deep, deep do not like to, I don't hate them. I just a deep, deep do not hate. It's borderline on Texas A&M University. They were one of those first Big 12 schools that are like, oh, we're better than the Big 12. We're going to go to the SEC. And they haven't done anything there. Every single year, their pocketbooks open and they get all of these really great players and they can't do anything with them. So I'm taking New Mexico to cover the 38.5 as, you know, at some point in time, you're not going to win by 60. So, and New Mexico is going to score some points. So I got New Mexico plus 30.5 at Texas A&M.
I like it. I did go ahead and stuck in the Mountain West as well. Although I do have to, I don't know if I tell you this, Derek, but I do have a Weird Al Wednesday that I do every day with my kids. This episode's coming out on a Wednesday. And Weird Al has the famous song, Albuquerque. And so when we were talking about New Mexico, I at least have to throw one of those out there because it's hilarious.
There you go.
So I stayed in the Mountain West. And I took Utah State plus 25 at Kinnick Stadium. Yes, we'll have the beautiful moment where all of the fans turn around and wave to the kids in the children's hospital. And that will be the best moment that Iowa fans experience in the whole day. Because they'll probably get the win. But we're talking about an Iowa team that you're saying has to score 26 points to cover this spread. I don't know that they know how to do that. So while I could have gone with the over-under and gone under 45, I went ahead and said, give me Utah State plus 25 to cover the spread because Iowa does not score points on offense.
Yeah, that's a big number for Iowa. Can Iowa score 25 points in a game? Because I'm not sure they can. Great, not even to mention Utah State scoring anything. Like Iowa, you know, is going to win probably 18-0 and not cover.
I would love for Utah State to go in there and give me an upset, but we'll see exactly what happens in that contest. Derek, while we're here and we're talking in the Mountain West, can I go ahead and give the Mountain West a little bit more love?
Please do.
All right. So I went with an underdog in the Mountain West again for my wild card. And I went with the game that is going to be the 2:30 p.m. kickoff on ABC, Boise State at Washington. Boise State is a 14.5 point underdog. I know it's not on the Smurf turf. I know that it's a little unfortunate for that. But give me the Boise State Broncos to hang in there with the future Big Ten legend, Washington Huskies. That sounds so awkward to say. I do think that Boise State is going to say, hey, why don't you play someone from the Pacific Northwest? And they're going to be able to keep it within two touchdowns, even if it's a garbage time cover. So I think that Boise State covers the 14.5.
I have always been a really big Boise State fan since Jared Zabransky, Ian Johnson, back in that win over the University of Oklahoma with a Statue of Liberty play. I'm bringing out the old guy stats now. So love the Boise State. I love this pick. You know, like those teams that are moving conferences. Yeah, do you really have anything to win this season? So I like Boise State, the 14.5 at Washington. Let's see what is it, Michael Phoenix? That's a Phoenix up there in Washington. Like he's a high draft pick, or they expect him to be.
Whenever he is healthy, he plays really well.
Yeah. So I, on my wild card, I am going to take the Battle of Miami. Well, okay, I'm from Oklahoma. That's how we say it, but it's actually Miami. So we have Miami of Ohio, 17.5 point over underdogs going to Miami of Florida, the Hurricanes. I'm hoping all of our Florida listeners are safe from that hurricane that is out there right now. But so I have Miami of Ohio covering the 17.5 at Miami of Florida. This is the Ben Roethlisberger's of the college world. That's where he came from. And I believe in them.
And let's face it, Derek knows all about Maction. He's excited for some Friday night Maction to get things going. And sometimes, you know, teams from the MAC can throw an upset against teams that have orange as part of their colors. I'm just saying. That's probably all I should say on this episode. Let's go ahead and get out of here. Okay. I do want to let you all know there's going to be something coming up on X, aka Twitter, in the next few weeks. You'll want to make sure you're following us at Brody Talk and also our friends over at the Daily Grind Pod, which is at Daily Grind Pod. They are awesome. And we're going to do a collab on Twitter where you have a chance to win a gift card. So definitely going to want to be paying attention there and active on social media. You know what you could do, Derek? You could turn on notifications for our tweets if you really want to. We don't tweet that much, so you won't be getting too much spam. And if you do feel like it's a lot, I'm sorry. But please follow us. Please go ahead and turn those on, and let's have a fun time as the football season is here. Also, if you want to find all of our links, make sure you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, and also many other places such as CastBox. Please check out our link tree, linktr.ee/BrodyTalk. And while you're there, feel free to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you are not going to miss a single episode of Brody Talk. So on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Captain Orange, my name is Caleb Walgren. Thank you for listening, and we are signing off. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.